Welcome to WorkWise, the growth mindset for wisdom at work. I'm your host, Ken Kennard, coach and chief creative officer at Accent Interactive. And in this episode, we talk about giving and receiving feedback at work. I'm joined again by Michael Boyes, psychologist, fellow coach, and leadership consultant with Credo Consulting. Feedback is such a big part of what happens at work, especially when we're doing something creative. If you're designing, writing, planning, or creating anything new at work, you've probably experienced giving and receiving feedback. As important as it is to the success of a project, we don't always get it right. So let's put on the growth mindset and see if we can improve the way we give and receive feedback. Okay, so what did you want to talk about today, Mike?
So I want to talk about our relationship, Ken. No, you know, I have this very vivid memory of you and I and our girlfriends at the time, sisters, Gail and Jennifer, and Elena Batista, our good friend, at our mother-in-law's house, our now mother-in-law's house. And I was sitting in the living room, and there you were playing, banging out beautiful tunes on the piano, and Gail and Jennifer and Elena were singing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have an incredible life. Because when I marry Gail and you marry Jennifer, my life is going to be like a Bing Crosby movie. Because all this beautiful music around us all the time. So it's been a great gift. Now, here we are married to sisters. It's not been a Bing Crosby movie. But I have enjoyed music for a lot of years, and I've learned a lot of lessons about music and about people watching this musical family. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. And
what did you observe? What did you learn?
So I you know, I remember going in to watch you and others rehearse for worship at church and watching musicians interact. And I'd never really seen that before. And it just provided a lot of parallels for my work in leadership development. And this is what I would see. I'd go into the worship hall and I'd see you practicing. And I saw a group of people in constant dialogue and in trying to create some beautiful music. And you know, usually there was a worship leader in charge. But I'd see people saying, oh, don't do that, or you came in late, and or what if we tried this? What if we did this? And I saw this repetitive process of playing music and then everybody communicating about what had just happened. And then throughout the session, that kind of cacophony would emerge into some beautiful music. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, I never knew how we got to hear such beautiful music. And I always kind of assumed that when I went to hear a concert or heard somebody play, that they just played beautifully all the time. And I never had insight into the process. And it occurred to me that there's a lot of lessons that bands could teach organizations. And so if that was my view from the outside. Can you tell me what was going on?
Well, from the inside, practice and rehearsal, that's just a normal part of, you rehearse way more than you perform,
right?
So the life of a musician is much more about what goes on in the practice room and the rehearsal space. I think what you're speaking to is kind of the feedback that musicians give each other in rehearsal so that they can all make the product better. They all want the same thing. There's always a commitment to the same thing, which is we want to sound great together. And there's this risk in music. In a performance, you're really putting yourself out there. You kind of feel naked on the stage. If you make a mistake, guess who knows?
Everybody
right? They're all going to judge your performance. And so it takes a certain kind of interdependence, I would say, among the musicians to get that to work well, and a certain openness to feedback. I learned early on, if you don't want feedback, if you can't handle someone telling you, hey, you did it wrong, or hey, maybe you should try this, or let me tell you how that sounded, that you're in the wrong field.
Right.
You just need to go somewhere else, because that's an essential and constant part of the life of a musician, especially in a group.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that, because I think a lot of us would like to go farther than we've gone. And I think there's a lot of musicians who stop playing or couldn't make it in a band or whatever. So What have you learned about how to persist through that? Because, like, what would you say to a person who's is getting the feedback but feels it's rough and they're not handling it well?
Well, first of all, you have to take the posture of a learner and say, you know what, I'm really here in this rehearsal to get better. That's a starting point. So I'm hoping to hear something mm-hmm. that I can use to help me get better. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not here to prove how talented I am. I'm here with a mindset of a learner to grow.
Okay.
Secondly, they may not give me feedback well, right?
Right.
It may be harsh.
It doesn't always come sugar-coated. Yeah.
I can't control how the feedback comes to me.
Right.
I can only control what to do when I get it. And of course, in a team, in a long-term relationship, you can give feedback about the feedback and say,
right.
hey, you know, can we do it this way instead?
Right. Yeah.
But I think that receiving the feedback, letting it happen, you know, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to change anything.
Right.
It just because someone sees it that way doesn't...
You have a choice.
Yeah, you have a choice in what you're going to do with it. And sometimes you can delay that choice. You know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to think about that. Maybe next rehearsal, uh-huh. I'll have a response about some other options that I could come up
right.
with. But the best musicians, the ones that are fun to work with,
uh-huh.
are the ones that take that feedback, do something with
right.
it, and make it different, make it better. And the group kind of takes on a life of its own.
Right. And so it occurs to me that this word creative we use, that we're creating something together. It occurs to me that, you know, a lot of people doing kind of more traditional work in organizations could take that mindset. We're creating something new here. And so we're trying stuff and we're going to take what you did and what you offered and what I offered. And we're not just dependent, but we're kind of synergistic that we can do more with a conversation about what this looks like and how it's working than we can do if we're just saying, you know, I can handle it myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's certainly some jobs that are pretty routine and mathematical and like you get the right answer or you don't. And
right.
there's not a lot of, maybe the process doesn't lend itself to a lot of experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of our work these days is more like the band
right.
than it is like the assembly line.
Right.
And I think that to adopt that mindset of experimentation, growth, being open to feedback, actually seeking feedback, wanting
right.
it.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems like there's got to be some value there. I mean, you coach with and consult with organizations. You do a lot with you know, large teams and,
right.
and groups that are trying to all work together in some
right.
of these creative ways. I'm curious about what you've seen that's worked or not worked. Maybe you have an
right.
example of,
right.
of someone that's been more like the musician and been open to feedback.
Right.
Or maybe they're not open to feedback or it's not working in the organization.
Yeah.
And what's the impact that
yeah,
has?
Yeah, I think that I'm sad to report that most organizations are not behaving as bands, that they don't have the same understanding that they are there together to create something and do something together that they can't do alone, and that they're on each other's side. I think it's more than just bands. I think that people who are involved in the creative arts or in kind of any kind of creativity have a different mindset. And I don't think it's magic. In fact, this makes me remember something that happened a few years back with an organization my daughter's in. It's called the Institute for Cultural Communicators. And I had the opportunity to see two teenage sisters do a duo performance, interpretive performance, in front of about, I don't know, 50 or so adults, plus the president of the organization and her vice president, her sidekick.
Wow.
There. And they weren't there to perform. They were there to learn. So here these two young ladies, teenagers, put themselves in front of all these people to be critiqued and to improve. And it was astounding. And what I saw was them perform and then stand and wait ready for feedback. And the feedback went like, oh, this here, when you did this, you know, that didn't really land, or maybe you should try this. And why don't you do it over and do this? And they went through it probably, I don't know, five or six times in the course of an hour. And sometimes the cycle was they went through the whole performance and got feedback. Other times they were just interrupted, you know, and they would look at their feedback provider, the president, and say, what else? Or what about this? Or I was thinking about this. How would that work? And then they would ask for feedback and they'd say, yes, ma'am, what else? And so what happened, it started as a good performance and evolved into just a beautiful performance. And what was more beautiful for me was the way they handled the feedback. And they seemed to assume, well, I know they assumed that the feedback providers were on their side, that they were in it together, they were there to help them, and that they weren't, it wasn't a critique to tear them down, but it was a feedback to build them up, and they weren't alone in this process. And I think a lot of times in organizations, the assumptions are just the opposite. And the assumptions are that I am here to, you know, I'm autonomous. I'm a solo practitioner kind of, and that I don't need anybody else. And that people who are giving me feedback are critiquing me. They don't have my interests at heart. And they, in fact, we're not really associated. We're not really on the same team, you know. And so they take feedback very harshly. And I think there's another assumption that is that when I perform, it's going to be good. It's going to be perfect. And so any critique is kind of disastrous. And these girls kind of assume that we're a work in process. We're a work in process, and so was our performance.
Yeah.
And those assumptions are just vastly different from kind of creative versus organizations. Well, how do you see that?
Well, I don't think you would show up to a rehearsal if you thought it was perfect already, right? If that was the assumption. And certainly your rehearsal would go very differently if you're there to defend how great your performance was.
Right.
So inherent in the whole enterprise, it seems to me, is this idea that you've got the perfect is never achieved.
Right.
You don't attain it. But what you do is you make each other better by the way you play.
Right.
And what's fun about music when it's going well is that when you have a suggestion and someone actually does improve something, it makes you sound better.
Yeah.
And then it gives you an idea.
Right.
And you're like, hey, I could do this now.
Yeah.
Right? And pretty soon the feedback sort of resonates with feedback.
Yeah.
And the improvement resonates with improvement. And you end up achieving way more than you even thought you could as a group because of the way, you know, not all suggestions are good, but to be open to trying stuff and see that's what does create the environment for success. And when it goes poorly, it goes really poorly.
Right.
Like to have someone in there that just wants to do their own thing, you know, doesn't care what you think, is going to kind of do it their way or the highway, you know, it really limits what the group can do.
The band can do.
And maybe you've experienced that in some of your clients. Like some of them, what happens when they're not?
They want to be the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
And they're out to prove it. I do have clients like that and mostly it's a defensive thing. They're afraid of being let down. They're afraid of what might happen if they're not the smartest person in the room. It's really a defensive posture. That's another conversation altogether.
But I'm wondering, like, are they afraid to receive it or are they afraid to give it? I mean, if it's not happening, it could be either way, right?
They're afraid of what they think the feedback says about them.
Okay.
They're afraid that it means they are wholly and completely broken and they're worthless if they're not perfect.
Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous. And they don't always hear themselves say it as that, but in the coaching process, very often you get them to realize that's exactly what they're thinking. And then they go, wow, that's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the other side is, I think that the willingness to go there with people, right?
We don't like to give negative feedback.
No.
I mean, it's tension, it's awkward. If you're not sure how the person's going to receive it, it's kind of a risk just to give it. Right?
Yeah. And it is a risk. You have to care enough about what you're working on, the music or the performance, the what you're creating, and you have to care enough about your teammates, the people you're working with, to give them the feedback. If you don't care about either of those two enough, you're never going to give it. You're never going to break that barrier. And so in organizations, a lot of times that's where it breaks down.
So what have you learned from bosses and their employees from this giving or not giving feedback? Well,
I've learned that there's anxiety and fear on both ends. You know, I had an employee years ago, not in this kind of work, but years ago, and I sat down with him for his, I think it was his, it might've been his annual review. And we had a long conversation. And he said to me, oh my gosh, Mike, no one has ever talked to me this way before. This is amazing. And what transpired in that meeting was actually I gave him feedback that he's a diligent worker. He's a hard worker. He was a fantastic employee. But despite his best efforts, his quality of his work wasn't commensurate with his level of effort, and that perhaps he had talents elsewhere, and that he should pursue them. And we talked about where those talents were, and we both agreed on where those talents were. And he went and pursued project management. 3 months later, he had a job in project management that I was essential in helping him find in the organization. And he's been thriving ever since. And that conversation launched a whole new career because I was willing to say to this guy, as a friend, as his boss, you know, you're a great guy, you're a wonderful worker, but this probably isn't your area.
And that's hard to hear.
It's hard, but you know, it wasn't. But it wasn't, because inside he knew.
Yeah.
He knew. And it wasn't said in a way that was damaging. I affirmed him in so many ways.
Yeah.
So bosses are afraid to go there. You know, I had a case recently where an employee was essentially fired, told not to come back because she had a very abrasive style and was causing great damage to the organization. And they brought me in to try to help her out. And she was making strides. You know, she's moving towards that goal. But she saw an opportunity for a transfer within the organization, a temporary project. She wanted to get on it. And she asked her boss. And her boss said, take it, but don't come back.
Ooh, don't come back.
Yeah, don't come back. And it took several conversations to get to. The boss told the woman, the straight dope at long last. The straight dope about how abrasive she was and how it affected things. See, prior to that, she knew she wasn't the greatest and she had some development to go on, but she never knew how bad it was and how serious it was because the boss was afraid to go there. And it damaged the organization. It damaged the employee who was eventually essentially dismissed, but it also damaged the boss because of the perception it creates for her that she's essentially two-faced, that she thinks one thing but won't say it. So people are feeling betrayed at her hands because she's not giving them the straight dope.
So you're destroying the trust that you could otherwise have if you're not really giving sufficient feedback that's on target.
And the trust isn't just between you two. When that happens in an organization, people see it.
Yeah.
And it creates a culture of mistrust among leadership and teams. And it really puts the whole organization on shaky ground. That's the foundation for everything we do is trust. And so unless the boss is willing to care enough about the person and care enough about the mission to be straight with people and it be candid and tactful, then it really erodes the organization. And unless people are open.
Yeah.
It's hard. That makes it harder, doesn't it? Right. So talk about openness.
Yeah. Well, when you ask me that, I immediately think of a time when I made one of the biggest mistakes in giving feedback that I've made. And that was, I would call it kind of like a dive bomber feedback
dive
approach.
Dive bomb feedback.
Yeah.
This sounds good.
Right. So what I did is I was in charge of the project. I delegated to a designer to work on part of it.
Right.
He was working on it. And I decided that I was ready to give him some feedback because I wanted to know how it's going.
Yeah, and it's your agency, right?
Yeah, I want this to be a success. So I just swooped in and said, you know, let's talk about the project. I'm ready to give you some feedback. And started sort of giving him the positive and the negative of the, where things were. And I could tell as we were talking by his nonverbal communication that this was not landing well, that he was not open. He had not, he had been kind of surprised about the timing and my sort of active engagement, the veracity in which I was pursuing this and the intensity. I can be a little intense sometimes.
No.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
No, just a tad.
All right.
And
thanks for telling me that. I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I learned from that mistake is something that we've now institutionalized throughout our agency is that the person who's receiving the feedback is in charge of the feedback. That they actually own it. They own the process. Well, it means that they get to decide when it happens, when they're ready for it, and they get to ask for the kind of feedback that they want. So when someone wants feedback, they say, here's the kind of feedback I'm looking for. Here's the job I'm trying to accomplish. Here's my stated mission. We've agreed, but I'm going to remind you that this is the intended outcome that
we're
after.
So there's some standard ahead of time you're clear about.
Yes. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Here's the part of it that I'm working on now that I want your feedback on. Mm-hmm. And here's the kind of feedback that I'm looking for. So that the person who's giving feedback now has the proper context. They have the proper permission. They've got buy-in. Everyone agrees that this is not personal. It's not, I'm here to evaluate you, how right. talented you are, or how well-liked you are, or anything like, yeah. you know. It's all about the project. Mm-hmm. It's all about what we can do to make this project better. And it's this is the kind of feedback that I need right now. Mm-hmm. And that's made all the difference in our feedback sessions.
So you've equipped people by putting it in their hands.
Not just putting it in their hands. Actually, we will tell them ahead of time, well, this is what we expect. So when you first come in, we say, feedback is a big part of our work here. You're responsible for the feedback that you're going to receive.
Okay.
You're responsible for directing the team to focus on the parts right. of this job that you want feedback on. And our job is then to help you make this project as close as possible to the intended outcome.
Okay.
And then you can decide what to do with the feedback.
Right.
You don't have to follow everything you've been given.
Right.
Every suggestion is not a great one. Sometimes you'll get opposing suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to sift and determine, use your judgment
right.
to make the project better. And our job is to just truly be honest with what we see.
Right. And you know, that's one of the things I see in organizations all the time when people are working together. And it's a real dilemma because they get, you know, they'll get different feedback or input from people in different parts of their organization. And frequently people above them. And so what do they do with that? And so, you know, tell me how you arranged for the feedback to happen, because I think that might give some lessons for how we can do it in larger, you know, you have a small creative agency, but I work with these big organizations where there's a lot of more barriers
right.
in the organization. So how do you structure that so that they can reconcile it?
Well, the first thing we do, we make a distinction between being in charge of the project
right.
and being in charge of the portion that you're working on,
right,
your feedback, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So generally the boss is in charge of the whole job, but if you're in charge of designing this part of it, you can take complete ownership of that part
right.
of it and be responsible for it. You're putting your name on that, essentially.
Right.
So it's kind of the artist theory of getting these things done.
Right.
Okay. Secondly, I would say that we just built it into our culture in such a way that everyone gives and receives feedback.
Right.
So no matter who you are, no matter what you're working on, you're going to be in those sessions
right.
where feedback is being asked for and encouraged and given.
Right.
And you know, if we think you're holding back, we're going to call you out and say, look,
right.
you know, you're in this session for a reason. Give us what you see. Help mm-hmm. us make this better.
Right.
So I think expecting it, asking for it, and getting to play both sides of that equation, so you're both giver and receiver.
Yeah.
I think that it starts to acclimate you to it,
right.
and you start to bring it into it. And right. you see the results of it, right?
Right.
You see that these projects are getting much better,
right?
Because
you
we're
see
doing
results,
it.
Yeah.
So that results,
yeah.
By seeing the results, it encourages you to mm-hmm. to buy into the process. I think.
So your experience as a musician has really kind of informed how you work here. So in a musician, when you're in a band, I guess there's, you know, one person in charge. You might have a conductor. I don't know.
You have a band leader or some kind of, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So when is it their say's final, and how has that translated for you? Because sometimes you have to call the leader card. You have to pull,
yeah.
I know there's something I know that you don't know, and I'm going to pull, you know, I'm in charge here. When does that come into play for you?
I think it can come into play at any time. The leader has the right to sort of play that card anytime.
Right.
And a lot of times the leader has insight into the client or the client's client or
right.
the situation that other people don't have. And
right.
so they have a right to bring in new information or to steer things in the right direction. But I would distinguish that what that's really doing is more clarifying the standard. It's
okay.
saying, let's not forget, this is actually a requirement.
Right.
Or this, if we're not including this, we're not getting our job
right.
done. So don't forget to factor this in. It's
right.
done in that context,
right.
not in the context that says, okay, now let me take this over. Let
right.
me take the creative freedom over.
I'm not taking it back from you.
No, I'm not taking it back. I'm just going to clarify. I'm going to give you maybe some new information.
Yeah.
I'm going to maybe help you see things you didn't see or reprioritize. Yes, these two things are important, but one's way more
yeah.
important than the other. So you need to pay attention to that, and your solution needs to take that into account. So that's how I would.
Yeah. And that brings up two things for me that I frequently see in these organizational contexts. One is I do see, you know, I see leaders, you know, sometimes make the mistake of a person's not doing as they'd like them to do. And so they pull the project back and they take it over themselves. And that's just debilitating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in an emergency, that's probably required.
Right.
But you, that's like a last resort. I mean, right. You want as much as possible for people to learn, even if by failing, even if by, you know, making a longer process, a harder process, because that the person who's doing that is doing the growing and doing
the
learning.
You got to fall to learn.
Yeah. And so if you gave it to them, you give it to them for a reason.
Right.
So
yeah, work with that. Yeah. And the other thing you reference is the whole idea of a standard of agreeing as, you know, creative agency, you agree, I think, with your customer what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
And so when you're creating something for them, you're always kind of pointing to that.
Right. So that takes it, that what that does is it saves us from having this devolve into a matter of preference.
Like, right.
I don't like green or I don't like blue. So that's why, right? Instead of that, we're saying, well, who's our customer here?
Right.
Let's get a profile of that person. Who are we trying to please? What are their goals? What are their intentions?
Right.
Let's design so it works for them. So this kind of user-centered design,
right.
as opposed to just trying to please the client because they have preferences and whims.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's not me versus you. It's what the customer is trying to accomplish. Yeah.
Right.
And for organizations, I think one of the things I really see is leaders in organizations and teams in organizations have a hard time with the feedback process because they don't do the hard work of defining what excellent performance looks like.
Well, what does that look like in an organization then?
Well, in organization, there's really, you know, there's two general categories of things you want to measure. You want to measure things quantitatively and you want to measure things subjectively, right? And so what that means, for example, is, you know, how I behave, my communication process, my decision-making, my organization, how I serve customers, and those sorts of things. But then there's also these hard things of the work that's produced. I'm evaluating the number and quantity of those things where I can actually put a number on those things. And you really want to define those things very well so that people know what excellence looks like. And I find that people don't do the hard work of actually defining that. It's hard work. But anywhere where you see excellence, you know, you look at sports, they measure everything and they give precise feedback and they measure everything that's important. We have the movie Hardball, you know, it's all about measuring it because the more you measure, the more feedback you can give, the more things you measure, you can get the more minute, refined feedback you can get for the purposes of analysis and understanding so that you can improve. Mm-hmm. And that's what feedback really has to be about. It has to be about sharing the right information so a person can learn and improve. That's the power mm-hmm. of feedback.
But it seems to me, though, that a lot of times it gets personal. Like, how can it not be personal, right? You feel like your heart's out there in your work, and it's just to hear anything negative about it is really, you know, we don't want that.
We don't. It hurts because it's attached to our passions. It's attached to our efforts.
Yeah.
And so, and the more creative, frankly, it gets, the more personal it is.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard. So I think that, you know, part of it is separating ourselves from what we just tried.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
What we just tried is key. I just tried this. Did it work? Seeing ourselves, going back to the growth mindset, seeing ourselves apart from our temporary performance.
Yeah.
And seeing ourselves as a person in progress, as seeing our work as a product in process. It's not the end goal.
Yeah.
I think in organizations, I just had this conversation the other day with some leaders in a naval support group in a Philadelphia area where we were talking about what does it take to receive feedback? Well, and one gentleman said, well, when I ask for it is when I receive it well.
Yeah. So that sounds like he's not a big dive bomber fan either.
No. He's not. He doesn't want the dive bombing. What he wants is to call the plane down and say, okay, come down and give me that little bomb right there. Don't make it a big bomb. Here's the bomb I want you to deliver, right?
Yeah.
And so what that brought out for me is, isn't that an attitude we choose? I choose to want this feedback and ask for it this time. But can't we just choose to look at our team and say, we're in this together. We're in the band together. We're all trying to create beautiful music. And therefore, you know, the drummer can give feedback to the vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocalist can give feedback to the saxophonist, to the keyboard player.
Right.
Because we're in this together. And it's not just when I ask for, but by virtue of showing up and trying to perform with this team, I'm asking for you to help me to perform. It's a choice we make.
Yeah. Yeah.
To and say so, you're on my team.
Right. So you're saying that you have permission, even though you haven't asked, because you've got that in the culture, that it's burned in to the culture. It's already a cultural value.
Right.
And you can get to that place. Yeah. But to get there, you might need to start with permission and actually asking.
So how do bands do that? Because they do it.
Well,
so does
a band automatically
come in and ask? What do they do?
I think that bands automatically start from that place because you can't be a musician without it. That you've learned as a musician, for the most part, that it's going to require a ton of practice.
But how have you learned?
Feedback.
But how, like, so...
By having lessons in which you go for critique and you get feedback all the time. And that's what you pay for. Imagine not just asking for it, but paying for it. Imagine you go to work and you say, here's $20. I would like you to tell me how I did on this
because
thing I tried.
Value this.
Because it's that important to me.
Right.
I mean... Right? It's laughable. You're laughing about it.
Yeah.
But that's what musicians do. So if you can imagine that, that you've been paying thousands of dollars for year after year after year so that you can improve on something.
Right.
And now you go to a point where a bunch of people are doing that and they're doing it together, then it's a natural part of what they do.
So part of it's the value of wanting to learn and grow. And part of it is, it sounds like, is the repetition.
Yeah, you've done it.
This has just been part of your world.
Oh, yeah.
So one thing that says to me is if an organization wants to create a feedback that's rich in feedback and people accept it, they just have to give it more often.
Oh, yeah.
Just do it.
I don't think a day goes by that we don't have feedback.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so daily. It's so much a part of what we do. Now, we're a creative agency, so we have to have it.
Right.
And maybe there's some places that a lot of times, you know, if you did it once a week, that would be a huge, huge difference. I don't know.
That would blow the world up.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I think the more you do it, the more you get used to it and the more you value it and the more you benefit from it.
Well, and, you know, I think that there's a difference between a creative agency and, you know, other kinds of organizations. But the reality is this, most of our jobs, as you kind of said, require, you know, they're not production jobs. They're not manufacturing jobs. They are jobs where we have to solve problems.
Right.
And problem solving by nature is creative.
Right.
And even our manufacturing jobs now, in reality, you require thinkers on the line because they're running sophisticated equipment and doing sophisticated things.
Right.
So we want problem solvers on our work.
Yeah.
And so problem solving, we're all involved in creativity.
Yeah.
So we're not creative in the way that this agency is, but there's creativity everywhere. So it requires feedback.
Sure. And permission's a key thing. You bring to mind a time that I gave feedback to my wife. She's a writer and she's a much better writer than I am. And one time she was showing me an early draft of something that she wrote. And I noticed a little minor flaw in what she was doing. And I took this opportunity to point out how her piece could be more refined and more polished if she had fixed this one thing.
Right.
And as I was saying it, I could just see the demoralized, deflated look in her eyes. And it was clear that even if I was right about that, that this was not the kind of feedback that she was looking for. And this happened early in our relationship, and it brought out something that we now do when we give feedback to one another. We've changed our process. And the question is, what kind of feedback are you looking for? And what we've noticed over time is that the answer to that question changes as the process goes. So here was an example. She was early in the process, and I was giving her appropriate feedback for something late in the process, which is not where she was. So had I to do it over again, I would have said, what kind of feedback are you looking for? She would have said, I'm just starting out with this. It's an early draft. In fact, the draft itself isn't even finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested more here in truth. Is this a good idea? Is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Does this have legs to it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it even worth pursuing?
Right.
And that's kind of what she wants. She thinks it is.
So it's, in a way, it's some validation.
Just validation.
This is a good thing to pursue.
Yes. In the middle of the process, we tend to be more interested in goodness in the sense of it has a benefit. Is this going to be strong enough to actually deliver good value? Are people going to like this?
Right.
Does it have potential to be really valuable to people?
Right. So moving from the ideas of goodness to
this expression,
the quality,
of it.
This expression
yes,
of it is where we're
right.
coming together.
Yes. And then late in the process, we're really more interested in beauty. We're interested in refinement. Okay, we've committed to the idea, but now how can I polish it? Is it spelled right? Is it everything aligned? Is there a different shade of this color that might work better? How can I make this thing really sparkle now?
Polishing it,
And you're just polishing in it. And so that's the kind of feedback as it changes. And then the final one would be you've released it. Now it's in the world. And now you're asking a completely different question.
Right.
Now you're asking, what impact did this thing have? Did anybody like it? What do the reviews say? What do the critics say? And now you're getting feedback from actual users or customers, as opposed to getting feedback internally from your teammates and your co-collaborators there.
Right. And so there's a similar thing in organizational work that's process feedback versus results feedback, right? And that was the end result versus the process stuff we talked about. And we separate those two out, and they serve different functions, just like you said. So timing and the kind of feedback you give is very critical. So what have you learned about how you deliver the feedback to folks?
What I've learned is that the feedback needs to focus on the product, not the person, most of the time. They're trying to get this product to meet a certain goal. And our job as feedback givers is to show them where we see it's working and not working to achieve that goal.
Right.
So it's not like I'm evaluating your talent or your role as a, your job as a person, right? I'm not saying anything personally that would be taken as a reflection on that. I'm really saying, here's where I see the standard. Here's where I see where we are. And here's some things that align. And maybe here's some things that don't. And I might even make some suggestions, you know, here's some things you might want to look at or try or some ideas that might help you hit the mark.
Yeah.
But always being on the same side as the other person in the way you're approaching it. So it's you and me against the challenge.
Right.
It's not me against you.
Right. Right. There's something else you mentioned there. I think is very important, and you kind of alluded to it. And you mentioned there's a different phases of work.
Right.
Right. In any job, there's a process of producing. There's a technology of producing something. And I find that most people who know, many people, I should say, who are doing work don't realize, aren't aware of their process. I think there's a level of expertise that comes with saying, you know what, there's a process to what we've done, and here's what it looks like. I think a lot of people are kind of in the middle. They're not aware of what they're doing. They don't have that awareness. And so it's hard for them to see what's required for success and therefore hard to give feedback. So they haven't studied what they do and broken it down in the process. And I think that's a crucial part of being able to give good feedback is knowing where people are in the process so you know what kind of feedback to give them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I probably don't spend a lot of time thinking about that because we've just internalized it. You know, after a while, you're not thinking about the process because you're just doing your work, right? But part of my job as a leader in that context is to be in charge of the process.
Right.
And to point those things out. And to actually affirm, you know, I really like the way that you've engaged the process, like we agreed that we would. And you're really staying committed to that. And we're seeing the results of that.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Well, that's very interesting. That's given me a lot of insight into, you know, how bands operate. And I think it's provided a lot of good lessons for organizations. And so speaking of that, maybe we could wrap up by you just telling us how, and this is a, you know, I'm springing this on you, so we'll see how this works out. You know, if you were to build this creative agency to something really big, what might you do to ensure that this culture of feedback stays with it and persists?
I would introduce it early. When a person first comes in, I would say, this is a place where feedback is going to be a big part of what we do. So you just need to know that coming in. And if that's not you, then maybe this isn't a good fit.
Right.
Second, I would model it from the top down. Everyone gets feedback on what they, and we're, you know, we debrief every meeting.
Right.
And we ask, you know, what did you notice that I did? What could I have done differently? How, what was the impact that you noticed in mm-hmm. the room when I did a certain thing or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I would also expect every feedback giver to be a feedback receiver. Like, you know, you have to play both sides to really know what that requires.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just, I would continue to do it often. I don't like this idea of like, wait till the end of the year and find out what your, you know, what everyone, your boss thought of your job performance that year. I just feel like that's a long time to go to get feedback.
Right.
I think we should be giving feedback as we go as much as possible. Maybe it's not every day, maybe it's not every week, but certainly it's frequent. So that I still remember what went on and so that I have a chance to start making modifications.
Yeah.
And maybe I can course correct in little ways now instead of trying to make it a big thing later.
Right.
So those are some things that come to mind.
All right. So it sounds like you have to, one of the leadership lessons here would be stay in close contact with your people so that you know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Staying close contact. The relationship is actually more important than the product.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The relationships are what create those products.
And it's what makes a person receptive.
Right.
To learning alongside somebody.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. 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 Well, Ken, I've learned a lot about how you see feedback and how that works with bands, and I'm determined to bring some of those lessons to my clients. So I'm looking forward to sharing this podcast with them.
Well, this has been great, Mike. How do people get more information about you and your work?
Well, you can find all about me at my website at credoconsulting.us. That's C-R-E-D-O consulting.us. And how about you, Ken? How can folks learn about you and find you?
Well, you can find out more about our creative agency at accentinteractive.com. That's A-C-C-E-N-T interactive.com. And for my coaching, you can go to kenkennard.com.